coat of arms just was recently released. Can you tell us a little bit more about the concept behind this album?
We decided not to do such a heavy concept as we did in the previous one, After War, because that was, obviously based around the book, After War, written by Sun Tzu, way before Christ. And we decided to stick with World War II anyway, because we went to our website and asked friends and fans and alcoholics to send us mails and info, because, history is so... I mean, you think it's global, but it's so fucking local in another sense. Finland is, these guys are our neighbors. And yet, the song White Death, in the end of the album, the second to last song, is about a Finnish sniper. And that was a tip from a couple of Finnish fans who wrote in, some of these guys. And, one of the, best marksmen to ever walk the earth, we never heard about him. And in that sense, we decided to try and get as much unknown thing that's not commonly known as him, the Warsaw Uprising. Most people heard about something about a Warsaw Uprising, but not many people really know what happened there. So what we did was really decide to, let's try and do stuff that's not common knowledge, we think, to us, and also stick to World War II.
And how do you guys come up with this military basis for your music since you guys started? Well, you started with fantasy and then you kind of shifted to military. What made you guys decide to do this?
There was no plan, actually. It just happened because we were, we already had the song at that time, I think it was 2003 or 4. We had the song Punk of Battalion, and I've written the lyrics. It was about the war in Iraq, in 2003. Mm-hmm. The name Operation Freedom, Iraqi Freedom. And we had the song Prima Victoria, which is, the title name of the album, the title track of the album, Prima Victoria. And we didn't have any lyrics for it, and we, figured me and the bass player were writing it, that it sounds huge. We should really find a huge subject for it. And of course, B-Day, you guys were in it. I mean, we don't have to tell you about all each what happened over there. We thought it's a fitting subject. And at that time, we started to do really research into this. And at that time, writing lyrics all of a sudden became interesting and, how do you say, more engaging. I'm sorry, my English is not really up to here, but the right word becomes more engaging to write the lyrics. When you're talking about something real instead of, being another band slaying the dragon, drinking beer or fucking women. Even though there's nothing wrong with drinking beer or fucking women, I'm not saying that, but all of a sudden it became more engaging and interesting for us to write the lyrics. And I think at that point we didn't think anything else than, let's make this album only about war. And then we realized, this is something we really like and want to do. And the those who heard us at that time also felt the same. So I think it was a natural way. It was never any master plan. Let's become a war metal band. But it just happened, I think.
And how do you see that the fans react when they see you guys presenting a style of metal that, like you mentioned, it's usually more for different kind of music, where you guys have a different, the military look with the camo pants and stuff like that. How do you perceive that the fans take this, or the people that don't know you guys to see you for the first time?
Well, to see you for the first time, if they watch us live, they're probably going to think we're the most untrue band in the whole fucking world, because we're going to sing about people dying and pain and misery, and yet we're all running around on stage getting the audience to clap their hands, and we're laughing and smiling. So yeah, we are very untrue in that sense, but we really can't help ourselves. It's fucking amazing and fun to be on stage, why hide it? But, we never really planned anything about that part at the point when, we went on stage and started playing about war, and it just came as a natural thing. But I do think, you know, some lyrics or our appearances, if you only, you know, see a promo photo of us, and then you might hear just the line, "The right will rise," maybe, if we have a song called from a Pier Dominato. And in that case, yeah, I think we had a lot of suspicions about us being neo-Nazis, but it's kind of fucked up anyway. quite the opposite, actually. And I mean, in the end, if it sparks some kind of interest or discussion, it's a good thing anyway. I mean, kids, and I mean, you know, young people these days, they haven't got a fucking clue what happened. I'm still surprised that, you know, Berlin Wall, yeah, was there a wall in Berlin? What's up with that? What the fuck? You know, 89.
And how do you guys saw that the change from the promotional perspective and from pretty much anything, since you guys were with a smaller label before, now you jump in to Nuclear Blast for this latest album?
Oh, it's a huge difference. I mean, in many senses, we're used to doing everything ourselves, basically before everything outside of Sweden ourselves. And now we got actually proper distribution by a real proper record label. And I mean, they haven't really been, you know, pushing, you know, cash into our pockets, but they've given us a fair chance, really fair chance, to prove what we are and what we're good for. And I mean, that's all we ask, because I mean, only the opportunity to be with these guys, and I mean, since for a couple of years now, be able to actually only do music. I mean, I hate artists in general because they complain. You know, I'm an artist myself, or, you know, a musician, because they keep complaining about, yeah, well, there was not the right vodka on the ride, or it's not the right kind of beer. I don't like this one. What the fuck? You're getting paid to go all around the world, meet new people, see interesting new places, and you're getting paid to do this, go on stage, and then afterwards drink your beer, and you're fucking complaining. Dude, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, well, you know, happy morning, grateful.
And, I mean, you guys have a pretty extensive tour coming up in September, October, and November, and even December. Do you guys have any plans for an American tour afterwards, or is there anything on the works?
Yes, there is. It's not 100% certain yet, but there are plans. We've been talking about coming, joining another band, that's Spodak, another band, an American band, actually, in January, which is really what we like. We're not sure about what happens to their album recording. And since it's not set, I'm afraid I can't tell you anything, but
yeah.
I mean, we're calling it the World War Tour, and I mean, there's nothing me or most of the other guys in the band love more than, you know, traveling, seeing new places. And I mean, I want to go to Japan, America, South America, all places we never been or only have been visiting, you know, in out for a show. It makes no sense for me to sit on an airplane for 15 or 12 hours only to a one show for 45 or 60 minutes and then the next day fly back home. It's insane, if you ask me.
And I mean, the new album charted in two Billboard charts here in the US. Were you guys surprised by how well it did here?
Yes, I mean, to be honest, I never even considered it. I mean, in Sweden we charted first at number 4 and then number 2, which was, I mean, it was a nice thing because we were number 5 on the last album, but I mean, hitting the charts in America was, I mean, it wasn't even in the book because we had two shows there, I mean, Plug Power and the Showcase show at Southwest in Texas. To be honest, I didn't think we had more than that amount of American fans at all, actually. So it's really a pleasant surprise.
And how do you think that the band's been getting noticed? What do you think is what makes Sabaton stand out from the rest of power/heavy metal bands these days?
Oh, I mean, I guess it's one, our choice of, you know, actually singing about war, and secondly, I think it's part of my voice, maybe, you know, it's not the regularly the type of voice you'd expect with that, in combination with that our kind of music. But I'd like to hope it's, you know, a combination of people enjoying good music in any way, but those are probably the things that makes us, you know, easier to identify instantly in that sense.
And what if you were not singing with Sabathon, since you, like you said, you have like a deeper, not too much traditional heavy metal, power metal voice, what other kind of music would you think that you would be good performing?
I do love, old stuff. I love Black Sabbath's death, but I don't really prefer the Dio. I don't really prefer the Ozzy era. Prefer the Dio and Tony Martin era, actually. And this is something you usually get your ass kicked around in Europe for. Because Ozzy's gone, you know, in many European eyes. But I do really love, you know, also Rainbow accepts that kind of stuff.
So
and I guess if I weren't with that one, I would be probably a keyboard player in some kind of classic hard rock, 70s or 80s hard rock band.
And why did you decide to drop the keyboards and just focus on singing, since a lot of bands now are trying to be more compact so they can actually get on tours, and since it's, I don't know, like they say, cheaper to be less people, why did you guys decide to expand the band instead of, since you can cover the keyboards, you do it yourself?
First of all, I was never planned to be the singer of the band. I was told that you sing until we find someone better, and I got lazy band members, so I'm still doing it. I was just writing songs as a keyboard player. I came into the band as a keyboard player. I didn't have a singer. And they found out that I wrote songs, and, you know, they wanted to hear the vocal melody, and I sang, you know, because, you know, so they could hear the vocal melody, and then they got a gig, or we got a gig at that time, and, okay, you sing, and then we had a demo recording. I said, yeah, well, what about the singer? We haven't got one yet, you keep singing, okay? I do love the live thing, that is really live. Playing keyboard at the same time as singing. We can give a complete show as we can now. I can run around, interact with the audience, which is, you know, really the part I like about it. The singing part is a bonus. What I like is, you know, interacting with the audience and having fun. It's more fun to be, you know, in the front, spotting girls, or, you know, saying cheers to people and recognizing faces, than it is standing behind the keyboard. In that way. And we thought about, you know, of course, back in the days when we got Daniel in 2005, we had the opportunity of backing tracks and stuff like that, but we tried to, we do have female vocals on the album.
Yeah.
But, in that sense, I'm kind of old school. I think that it's something I respect within the band. If they do everything live properly. We don't get the female vocals because, you know, everybody's still got the balls in the band. But we try and, instead of, being a studio production and adding too much pre-recorded stuff, we try and, none of us except Oscar, the guitar player, is a brilliant musician. So we make up with it with rehearsing. And trying to, you know, do our thing as fucking good as possible, because as soon as you get that click track on with a drummer, he's losing contact with the audience, and you can't interact in the same way as we are now. If the audience is really shouting along or screaming along in one night, and you say, okay, let's do this one more time, you know, or I could decide not to start singing on a break in the song or something, and then kick it in a little bit later. It makes the show more dynamic, I think.
Yeah. And what do you think that you want to take the band in the next few years? What do you think it's in the future for Sabathon?
World Elimination? I mean, I've hopes and dreams and goals, and I set them really, really high. But I really love to, you know, just be in this moment right now. That kind of guy, I don't know why, but that's probably why I love being on stage so much, because, you know, at least for me, when I'm up there singing, it's this moment right now matters, and that means the world, it means everything. What happened 10 seconds ago, or what might have happened in 10 seconds, is of no importance at all at this moment.
And if you guys had like an unlimited budget for a live show, what do you think you would use to bring the whole concept and ideas behind the band to a live setting?
Tanks on stage. we actually got unlimited, but happily enough, you know, at least in certain European countries, we actually get enough paid to put on a really, really, really good show with, you know, stage sets, special custom-made lights, and real pyros, I mean, 15-meter flamethrowers, bombs and explosions. search for Sabaton Metal Town or, you know, something like that, or Sweden Rock Festival at YouTube, and you can find these things. And, I mean, for us, I mean, even though it was not at all in the sense of, you know, unlimited budget, but it's a lot of money went into pyro and stage show, but it was worth it in the end. I mean, if we can survive still, excess is not something I want in private life, so excess is something I want on stage. And, I don't know, maybe we're crazy in that sense, but, I mean, if we have a possibility to realize our vision, people coming to a Sabaton show and, you know, we're singing about bombs blazing all over, you know, who's next to see us, you know, explosions following me running or from one side of the stage to the other, or, you know, a drummer Daniel being engulfed in the flamethrowers, I mean, why not? It's, you know, in a sense, living a boy's dream. Yeah. And if that costs money, so fucking be it, because you never know when I'm gonna fall over and die or break my vocal cords so I can never sing again. I wanna enjoy the ride for as long as we can do this, and I hope certainly we'll still be able and sober and not hooked on drugs in another 30 years to do it.
And just to kind of close off the interview, is there anything you want to add and say to the North American audience that bought the records and is waiting for you guys to come over here and give a good show?
Yes, you know, normally this is the question I hate the most. I dread it, really, because I know about 50% of the interview, that question is going to come. And I never fucking ever think about it in advance. But, I mean, when it comes to North America, it's really easy. I'm telling you, you know, everybody out there, thank you who actually bought the album instead of downloading it. I mean, it's not about the money in that sense. It's about, you know, if we have sales, if we have the Billboard charts, we have a bigger chance of coming there because, you know, this is the way how, you know, the promoters think.
Yeah.
And that makes it easier for us to come there and actually play the shows. So, I mean, seriously, to everyone who bought the album, big cheers and thank you. And 2011, we are looking at several possibilities. And if it's at all possible, we will be in the United States for several shows in 2011.